Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us. It's absolutely beautiful outside. We're loving it. Let's talk some gambling, shall we? The NFL released their schedule. It's always weird because teams release it and then ESPN does it later at night and then people are leaking it. I think the whole Patriots schedule got released, but the first thing we think of when we see it is
gambling.
Like the over-unders, what are the lines on week one? We did it yesterday. The week one schedule got released. We were talking about lines all day on the show. Joining us now to discuss that and more is Joe Fortenbaugh of ESPN, the Daily Wager. By the way, they're gonna have a special show tonight over on 910 ESPN Portland at 6 p.m a special Daily Wager looking at all the NFL props, over-unders, all that good stuff for the upcoming season, at Joe Fortenbaugh on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Joe, thanks for the time this morning. I'm curious, for a guy like you, the schedule gets released, what are the first things that you look for? Is from a gambling angle, what stands out to you the most when you first look at it?
Great question. First thing I want to do, and this takes some time, I look for the spots, also known as the situations in gambling parlance, right? I want to find games, individual games, in which teams are either going to be at a significant advantage or disadvantage. I think we've all played that game before with our favorite team. Maybe it's Seattle, maybe it's Philadelphia, where you look at the schedule and you go through and you're like, all right, we're hosting Washington, that's a win. We got to travel all the way to San Francisco, that's a loss, right? And we go through it, and then we say, all right, 10-6, it looks good. Not all games are created equal. For example, Dallas and Minnesota, that's an interesting game somewhat early in the season. Dallas is going to go to Minnesota when Minnesota's coming off the bye. That's a big advantage for Minnesota. You guys probably follow the Seattle Seahawks relatively closely. There's a big matchup against the Saints. I believe it's in week 7. Saints are coming off a bye for that game. And then the next week, the Seahawks play the Jaguars. The Jags are coming off the bye for that game. Meanwhile, there are situations where teams might play their third road game in 4 weeks. That's what I'm looking for. I'm trying to find the pitfalls for teams where I can exploit the advantage. One of the great ones that existed, and I haven't combed through the Thursday night games yet, but long travel dates for the road team on Thursday night has always been very perilous over history. So when the schedule first comes out, that's what I'm doing. I'm combing through, looking for the spots and the situations.
God, I got goosebumps. Thanks, Joe. You just got me even more excited for the upcoming season. Oh, man, I can't wait. Let me ask you, there's two teams that I'm staying away from. I have no clue what the hell's going on. I have no clue how to feel about them. I want to bet on one of them, but no thank you. How are you viewing bets or looks on the Packers and the Broncos right now, given what's currently up in the air?
All right, so that's an excellent topic. And to be honest with you, it's so up in the air, like you said, that most books have taken down all odds on both teams, right? We do have odds, for example, on the Packers week one game against the Saints. They're going to go to New Orleans. Saints are laying 2.5. So if you've got a feel for how that's going to play out, you can bet it. But let's be honest, who's going to start at quarterback for the Saints? Right? We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. We have no idea who's starting for the Saints. Is it going to be Hill or is it going to be Winston? So you can, if you feel like you've got good information or you want to take a gamble, you can put yourself ahead of the curve. Conversely, Jacksonville, who went 1-15 last year, is laying 2.5 points at Houston. If you think Deshaun Watson's going to play in that game, that's a pretty good price. I know Houston's going to stink, but Jacksonville laying points on the road with a rookie head coach who's never coached in the NFL before and a rookie quarterback is a tough thing. So back to the question at hand, how would I play it? It's a stay away for both. I would look for the ancillary effects. And what I mean by that is with Denver, when the word got out that they could be very interested and very close to getting a deal done with Aaron Rodgers, that had an effect on a lot of odds, not just theirs. It dropped Kansas City's price to win the division significantly. The Chiefs were minus 600 to win the AFC West. That means you have to risk $600 to win 100. But once those rumors started, Kansas City dropped all the way down to minus 280. So instead of risking $600 to win $100, you're only risking $280 to win 100. Still a risk, but let's ask ourselves, what happens if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go to Denver? I'm getting the Chiefs at a discounted price. And even if Rodgers does go to Denver, it's not a guarantee they get by the Chiefs. It would be accurately priced at minus 280. So that's what I was looking for with the whole scenario.
That's a great find right there. I'm laying all that money on Kansas City. Even if Rodgers goes to Denver, I'd still probably take Kansas City to win the division.
Easy. It's only May. Easy.
You're going to bet against the Chargers there, your quarterback, Justin right. Herbert.
He's going to be the GOAT in the future, just not quite ready yet. Joe Fortenbaugh is our guest, ESPN Daily Wager. Catch him tonight as well over on 910 ESPN Portland, 6 o'clock. They have a special show just talking about all the angles of gambling in the NFL. It's going to be a ton of fun to listen to as you're getting kind of a glimpse of it right now. When everybody's going to spend the first couple of weeks of the season talking about one matchup, and I'm already tired of it, but I know by the time it kicks off, I'm going to watch it. Who are you gambling on, Belichick or Brady?
Oh, wow. So I think that's what, like week four, week six?
Week four, yeah.
All right, so we got an advanced line on that. It's going to be the Buccaneers laying a few points against New England. That's an interesting one because when it comes to Tampa Bay, they're returning all 22 starters from last year's Super Bowl team. And some people could say, well, they won the Super Bowl. Maybe they come in lazy. I don't know. With a guy like Tom Brady, it's tough to bet against a team not showing up, right? So you figure you got continuity on the coaching staff, continuity on the roster, leadership with Brady, a lot of confidence. And the thing about that team is they got better and better as the season went on. They came off that late end of season bye, and then they went undefeated the rest of the way. They really corrected some of their issues that they were having early in the season. So I think they're going to get off to a better start this year. The big question mark is New England. How are they going to look, right? Like last year, it wasn't all that impressive, but look at what they were dealing with. Newton had absolutely no weapons around him whatsoever. You had a bunch of guys on both sides of the ball that opted out due to COVID, and Belichick still got him to the finish line at what, like 7 wins? So now here we go. Is it going to be Newton or is it going to be Mac Jones? That's a big question. But this team spent a lot of money in free agency, and they've worked to upgrade the roster. Plus, 5 or 6 key guys like Dante Hightower are coming back after sitting the season out due to COVID. So it should be a better roster. Obviously, the game plan is going to be very tight. Both guys are going to want to win that game. Right now, for me, and sometimes we got to be able to do this in gambling, it's a stay away. I'm going to sit back. I want to see how New England looks early in the season, and then I'll reassess as we get closer to kickoff.
Joe, who made the move in the offseason, signed a guy, brought him in, and makes you kind of reassess maybe your position thought on the team once the schedule comes out? They have this guy. Who was the team that made that move?
All right, so really good question there. I would say for me, the thing that stood out, it wasn't one move. It was a series of moves that when you put it all together, puts the team in a much better position than people realize. And I think it's the Minnesota Vikings. All right, their win total's 8.5. Yeah. It's a tough schedule down the stretch. I like the over. Mike Zimmer's a defensive mind. And he said at the end of last season that was the worst defense he's ever coached in his life. And he's been coaching defense in the NFL since the early 90s. That says something. But it also says this. They identified their weakness, and then they went out and they took the steps necessary to correct their weakness. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson to shore up the defensive line. They brought in Patrick Peterson and Mackenzie Alexander to help out at the cornerback position. Right? They bolstered the defense, and they've already got a top-5 offense by many metrics. Passing, scoring, total yardage, all that stuff. Remember another thing about Minnesota, all right? They were 3-5 at home last year, but they didn't have any fans in the stands. They're one of the teams in the NFL that benefits the most from home field advantage and crowd noise. That dome is extraordinarily loud, especially when the opposition gets down in the red zone. The year before, they were 6-2 at home. Last year, they're 3-5 with no fans. I think the home field advantage, coupled with the additions on defense, put Minnesota in a position to be a threat. And their win total is only 8.5. And remember, 17 games this season. So we only need them to go 9-8 in order to cash that. Yep. Plus, with Detroit down, you figure that's two wins. You should be able to split with the Bears. And if Rodgers leaves Green Bay, that's a great situation for Minnesota, who's also plus 120 to make the playoffs. So the Vikings are a team who, through free agency and the draft, really impressed me.
I'm writing that down, locking that Vikings bet in. Blow
I'm
that
surprised
Viking
you didn't
horn,
have
baby.
It already. Your boy Kirk Cousins,
my boy
man.
Kirkers. Let's go. Joe Fortenbaugh, guys. Daily Wager on ESPN. Hear more on 910 tonight at 6 o'clock. Special NFL preview show. I know you just highlighted Minnesota. Are there any other over-unders that just like jump off the page at you and say, I love that bet, love that bet?
Yeah, I'm a Philadelphia guy. I'm from the area. I'm betting the under on the Eagles, 7 wins. I know. Thank God I'm talking to you guys in Portland, so hopefully there's not a lot of Eagle fans getting upset or family members listening right now. But the reality of the situation is they're not good. They don't have a bye until week 13 or 14, which is dreadful. In addition to that, the first 7 games of the season, they could be an underdog in every one of those games, and they're likely going to be an underdog in every one of those games. They got a rookie head coach. They got a quarterback who's only started 4 games. They got a rookie wide receiver, Devontae Smith. They got a second-year receiver in Jalen Reagor, who's only caught 31 career passes. There are a lot of issues there. I think that team's in a rebuild, but they don't want to admit it because they don't want to scare off the fans. So they're trying to pretend like they're going to compete, but the reality of the situation is it's a rebuild, and it's going to take some time. Under 7 wins on Philly. I'd also go under 9.5 wins on the Tennessee Titans. A lot of people think I'm crazy going against Mike Vrabel and what he's done with that franchise since he took over. But I want to point something out. They're another team with a late bye, week 13. The 7 games before that bye, Buffalo, Kansas City, at the Colts, at the Rams, hosting the Saints, hosting Houston, that's a win, and then at New England. That is a brutal stretch of games for a team that was #1 in turnover differential last year. Turnovers are one of the biggest predictors of wins, but to be #1 one year, how are you going to maintain that? It's damn near impossible. If the turnovers fall off, the wins are going to fall off. They were 7-2 in one-score games last year. They should experience some regression there as well. And they had an 11-5 record despite a point differential of plus 52. That's more indicative of a 9-win team. So I think they were a little bit beefed up last year due to some good fortune, I would say. But I think they're going to regress back to earth. Tough schedule. They lost their offensive coordinator to Atlanta. I would say Tennessee under 9.5 wins as well.
The NFC West, Joe, is going to be really tough. We know that. Cardinals, their over-under, I think, is at 8. I don't know how you feel about them, but who cares? The Niners are at 10. The Rams are at 10.5. The Hawks are sitting there at 10, and we have the Hawks on our radio station. How are you viewing Seattle coming into the year? Russell Wilson disgruntled, seems okay now, but this is a big year, it feels like, for that franchise with where Russell Wilson and them sit.
It's tough to bet against Seattle because Russell Wilson is able to overcome so much more than a lot of people realize. You know, there are some metrics out there that point towards teams either getting better or getting worse, and yet Seattle has continued to power through it despite the metrics pointing to regression over the last few years. I'll give you one. Since 2019, they are 19-6 in one-score games. That's 76%. That's absolutely insane. One-score games are essentially coin flip toss-ups, right? You miss some field goals here at the buzzer. They make some field goals at the buzzer. You turn it over in the red zone. They turn it over in the red zone. Over a large enough sample, you should be .500 in one-score games. They're 76% towards the win in one-score games. That's eventually going to regress. New offensive coordinator, some issues on the offensive line, and then I look at the schedule. They're going to be on the road against the Colts in week 1. That's a tough one. Hosting Tennessee in week 2, who I think they beat. Week 3 at Minnesota. That's Minnesota's first home game. Vikings open up with back-to-back road games, and then they're going to host Seattle in week 3. That's going to be tough. Like we mentioned earlier, Saints in week 7, they're off the bye. Mm-hmm. Jags in week 8, they're off the bye. A lot of pitfalls on the schedule. So when you're talking about a 10-win total, I lean to the under for Seattle, but it's not going to surprise me at all if I would lose money there because Russ is so good. He's been able to cover up so many problems for so long.
Yeah, one of those teams every year we kind of discount them when they find a way to win the division, it feels like.
Hey, Joe, quickly for you, do you think the bettors of the Derby should get the second place bettors? Should they get money? Should that change in horse racing where the original horse is disqualified and yet the paycheck goes to the second place horse, but the gamblers, they get to cash in on the original winner, and the second place winners don't get that money.
It's too messy. I agree. It's a total rip job that you end up in that situation. But what happens when a fighter in UFC or in boxing tests positive after a test that he wins, right? Like, right. I've been in a lot of situations where I've had that happen. I'd love my money back, but I'm not getting that. You know, they what about these college teams that cheat and then they have to vacate an entire season? Well, all the money I lost on those games, do I get that back as well? Vegas does the best it can, and I'll tell you what, that Kentucky Derby thing, it's a mess. It's a real mess that happens to a lot of people, but unfortunately that's the business we're in. And we always have to realize, check the rules of your sports book, especially with COVID and everything that's been happening. You got to see, for season win totals, how many games are action, how many innings are action, all that stuff. Always be aware of the rules. Worst bet of my life, 2 seasons ago I had the Warriors under for their season win total, right? Before COVID shut everything down, it was already done. They weren't going to be able to get their over, but because they didn't play the minimum amount of games, I didn't get to cash in on that bet. It was refunded, even though mathematically there was no way for them to go over. So there's tough beats left and right. You just try to persevere and work through it.
Yeah, great stuff. Joe Fortenbaugh, Daily Wager on ESPN. You can hear him tonight over on 910 ESPN Portland, the special Daily Wager radio show at 6 p.m.
He's going to be talking about cocaine,
all
man. That was
stuff
great.
NFL, man. You got us, Jack. Thanks so much for the time this morning. We appreciate it, and hopefully we can do it again here soon.
Yeah, boys, it was my pleasure. Portland's one of my favorite cities. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.